Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this week's call to Master Persuasion and Influence and Human Nature, and we'll pepper in a little self-persuasion there. Welcome to first-timers, or you know, many of you are doing the recording and send me your questions that way. Today is, if you're ready for it, May 2nd. We're already in May, so we want to make sure that you're still targeting those goals and keeping track of your numbers. All great persuaders know their numbers. That is so important for you to understand. You need to know that if you talk to 10 people, 5 will be interested and 3 of those will say yes. You need to know that, otherwise you won't be able to gauge your improvement. And that's kind of the series we'll be talking about now, is as we talk about persuading people and influencing people, helping people see your vision, help people want to do what you want them to do and like doing them. We need to talk about, a lot of you think we should talk about this last, but anytime we talk about a presentation or talking to somebody on the phone, there is what we call the call to action. What do you want them to do? So before you pick up the phone, before you write an email, before you create a presentation, before you do a webinar, you create the last part first. Now, it might seem counterintuitive to you, but this is your call to action. This and your whole presentation, your whole voicemail, your whole sales copy, whatever it is around that one thing you want them to do. Not the 10 things, not the 6 things, but the one thing you want them to do. Because your call to action, in reality, is only 5% of your presentation. This is not a beat around the bush. Ladies, I'm sure you've had an experience where a young man came up to you and beating around the bush, the weather, what about this? And you knew he was going to ask you out, but it took so long to get to the point you didn't want to go out with him anymore. And that's true with your call to action. Because it's a big complaint as I interview people that you've tried to persuade. Because remember, I get to interview people after they've lied to you. And a big complaint, and this one's pretty interesting, is that when you get to your call to action, when you get to that moment you're going to ask for their money or for their business, your demeanor changes. You get all a little nervous inside. You're slowing down. You're a little more fidgety. You're freaking them out. It shouldn't surprise them you're asking them for money or for their business or for a donation. The whole presentation has been built around that. So you have to really understand, when you work on that 5% of your presentation, the most important part, it'll probably take the most time. And you have to think to yourself, okay, you've got to put yourself in their shoes. Now, why do people buy? Why are people influenced? And they don't care about the 17 reasons you're going to vomit on them. That would be too many. That's over-persuasion. Remember, studies show that you're talking 3 times too much. They don't want to be persuaded or back in the corner or sold. They want to make their own choice. That's why during this process, your goal is to help them persuade themselves, to find out the what's in it for them. So why should they care? Is it going to make them money? Is it going to save them money? Is it going to help them down the road? Are they doing it out of inspiration or desperation? You have to really get in there. Again, it doesn't matter why you think. You got to get into their brain. Because too many rookie persuaders just do the old data dump and hope in one sticks. Well, here's the 15 reasons. Here are the 10 reasons. And that does not work very well. It works every once in a while. You know, even a blind pig can find food, but that's not what we're talking about. So with that call to action, let's get into it. Again, the main thing is you're asking yourself, okay, even if it's before a phone call, even if it's before a voicemail, what do I want them to do? Call you back, send you an email, go to a website. So what do you want them to do, number one? And the second thing is you need to make it quick and easy, as easy as possible. You've heard me say it time and time again, that a confused mind says no, an overwhelmed mind says no. If they don't know exactly what you need to do, make it as easy as possible, then that's when you tend to get that resistance. They're not sure. That's when you get, I got to need to think about it, too expensive, talk to my spouse, go to your website, which, as you know, 67% of the time is a lie. So give it quick, easy, painless, 5% of your presentation, your demeanor's not changing. And you've probably heard me tell this story before, but it illustrates this point so well about the farmer. His tooth was killed him, didn't want to go to the dentist, put it off, didn't want to go. Finally goes to the dentist, and the dentist says, look, you know, I know you don't have a lot of money, but I can't save this tooth. We have to pull it. And the old man was kind of depressed. He says, well, how much does that cost? I don't have that much money. He's all, $150. I can pull your tooth $150. And the old man's like, oh, I don't have that. Well, how long does it take? Oh, a couple minutes. And the farmer's eyes, he kind of got all widened. Got kind of a little mad. He's all, wait a minute, $150 for a couple minutes? And the dentist just smiled and said, well, if it's the time you're worried about, I can take as long as you want. Okay? And the same thing's true with this call to action. Don't beat around the bush. It shouldn't surprise them. Now, the big part of this call to action when you're on the phone with somebody or giving a presentation is knowing when it's time to shut up and ask. They don't need to know all the features and benefits. They don't need to know all the software, all the programs, exactly what they get. They don't need the laundry list before you get them involved. Because if they're ready to go and you keep talking, oh, I got a few more things to explain. They're ready to go. You keep talking, oh, a few more things. You're going to talk them right out of it. See it time and time again. They're ready to roll. It's a done deal. It's good time management. Why go another 15 minutes when they're done? But you're so concerned about what to say next that you're missing these signals. So let's talk about that for a second. And you can tell me over the phone or zap me in response via the net. There were some things that we're looking for. You can zap me questions too. So during this presentation, let's say it's face-to-face. You will actually see their whole body and their facial expressions relax. When they've mentally made a decision, it's kind of they relax a little bit. They start looking at paperwork, thumbing through a brochure. You might see approving glances between a spouse or partners, kind of a spark in their eyes. They'll actually lean a little closer to you. And you'll see their head nod up and down. They'll begin to mirror you. So if your head's going up and down, their head's still going up and down, it's done. It's time. If they're over the phone, you might hear a little more, a faster rate of speech, a little more energy in their voice. You will hear them ask, well, tell me the specific terms. Now, how much is that again a month? What's the guarantee on that? Now, is that instant delivery? Is that a download? Do I have to wait a few weeks? Those are all questions. It's done. It is done, start sealing the deal. Or you might even hear things like, well, that's a great deal, or that's not expensive. I can see how I could make money with that. I can see how I would do this, this, and this. It's like if you were doing, for example, a real estate. So I said, I think we should put the grand piano here. Okay, done. Okay, there doesn't need to be any more facts or figures or logic or even stories. That's what you're looking for. So important that you understand that, in the numbers, you're talking three times too much. And when you keep that laundry list going, you're going to give them a reason not to do it, a reason to think about it. And that's where the real challenge happens. So kind of recap that a little bit. Make sure before you're doing the call to action first. It's about 5% of your presentation. Make sure your demeanor doesn't change during this process. Make sure you've gotten in their brain to figure out, okay, what is the real reason? And now here's where a lot of persuaders, especially rookie persuaders, make a mistake. Now, when you look at your product or service, and they've contacted you, maybe they've called you, or it could be in person, maybe it's even an email. If they've contacted you about your business, your product or service, they already have a reason. They already know why they're contacting you, so your goal as a persuader is to find out exactly what that reason is. Great persuaders ask a lot more questions than the average persuaders. Three to five times more, depending on the study that you look at. Because now as you ask questions, you're a consultant, it might be, hey, what is the perfect fit like to look like to you? If a genie appeared and made everything look perfect, what would that look like? What does a perfect home-based business look like to you? And listen and shut up and they'll tell you what it is. Now on the flip side, if you're calling them and you're contacting them for the first time, you need to create a reason. That's the big thing. That's where I see a lot of people making that mistake. It's not always the same. So who's ever made that initial contact dramatically changes the questions and how that presentation is going to go. That is very important to understand as we go through that. So that's really understanding that call to action. Because during that time, you need to make sure that you keep the door open for any type of questions or any type of objections. What happens a lot of times during this, there might be a few questions. And if you handle a question the wrong way, they will shut down and have to think about it, get more information, come back later. When somebody asks you a question, even though you've explained it, even though it's a no-brainer, you have to check your ego at the door and say, you know what, I apologize, I should have explained that better, I should have brought that up. Thank you for asking me that question. It goes back to our school experience, whether it's high school or college, you raised your hand, you felt stupid, somebody snickered, the teacher gave you that look, and you're never going to ask again. And that's why it's important to be able to do that. Thank you for asking that question. Appreciate it. Keep that door open during this time, especially during the whole presentation, but especially during the call to action. And if they do have some type of question, let's say it's about the money, let's say, well, let's set that aside for 6 seconds. Is there anything else that you have questions on? And so when you get to the very end, you know there's only one main thing or question that you need to talk about. The other thing here that a lot of people complain, you know, I tell you, that's one of the funnest things I get to do is interview people after they've lied to you because I get the truth. But here's something that most people don't realize they're doing. When you talk about objections and questions, you already have a response, or at least hopefully you do. So you're going to hear the same objection or question over and over again. So it's good time management in your brain to cut them off in the middle of their question and answer it because you know the answer, you know exactly what to say. The challenge when you do that, you've built a barrier, you've created some distance, and it actually decreases your credibility and increases your perception of arrogance. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. Remember, up to 95% of persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. I like this person, I don't like this person, I trust this person, I don't just trust this person. All you have to do is take an extra 10 seconds to let them finish, to pause for you not to create that disconnect. Because if there's a disconnect, it's much easier for them to say no. And that's the power of really understanding human nature and questions and why we do what we do. Because you're the expert here. You're the consultant. If they get stuck or you're not sure where to go next or if they're going off on a tangent, it's an appropriate thing for you to ask a question because that keeps you in control of the conversation. And that's important to keep control, to keep them down that path. And another thing, too, is when we talk about questions and objections, don't let it make you nervous, tense, or uneasy. It's a request for information. It shows you how to modify your presentation. Maybe it's showing you where you blew it or where they weren't listening. Doesn't matter. If this is where a lot of people's demeanor changes, where people think, oh, wow, he didn't like that. It doesn't matter if it's a dumb question or a weird objection or one that you don't want to get. Now, here's really something really interesting about objections. I've told somebody this before, but this is new research, that the objection you get the most is the objection you still have, especially people that are new into business or it's a new type of business or even a home-based business. What that means, right? Kurt, what does that mean? All right, let me tell you. That if you don't feel that it's worth it, you're going to get too expensive. You think it's too complicated, you're going to get that. The one that scares you the most is the one you kind of manifest. And so you kind of have to do some soul searching here if it's the same ones over and over again. But the main thing that needs to happen when there's a question, there is an objection. So you've listened to them. The first thing you think, okay, is this a true objection or a knee-jerk objection? Because when people have questions a lot of time, what happens is, even though it sounds so good and you're making money or it's going to help them, we see this especially in home-based businesses where even though it sounds good and they can make an extra $5,000 a month, if they mentally can't see themselves doing it, it's not going to happen. If they can't see themselves talking to their family and friends, it's not going to happen. If they can't see themselves picking up the phone, it's not going to happen. If they can't see themselves living in that neighborhood, it's not going to happen. Whatever the product or service is, that's very important to understand. Now, here's the kicker, is they're not going to tell you that. They'll tell you something else. Too expensive, more information, need to think about, I'm too busy right now. So that's important. They can't see themselves doing it. For example, if I was selling a pass to a water park all summer long for the whole family, it's only $50, incredible deal. I need to think about it. You're like, there's nothing to think about. This is $200 off. It's a lot of fun. Your kids want to do it. You need to think about it. Well, think what could be that hidden objection they would never tell you. Maybe they're afraid of the water. Maybe they can't swim and their kids don't know about it. Maybe they don't want to be seen in a swimsuit. Yeah. All these things could come into play. They wouldn't tell you out. So when the biggest thing, when they have an objection or concern, you have to ask yourself, okay, did that make sense? So if you say, well, you can make an extra $5,000 a month from home, and they say, yeah, but you have to talk to your family and friends. Okay, for most people, for an extra $5K, they really don't care. That's just a knee-jerk reaction. If you were doing real estate, hey, I made $50,000 on this real estate deal. Yeah, but that took you 3 months of hard work. Okay, and really? No sense. Hey, you know what you should do? I have this internet business that you should do, or stock. I'll say stocks. I have these stocks. You should trade stocks online. You can make extra money. Well, yeah, you have to be in front of your computer. Okay, really doesn't matter. Hey, you should do real estate and rentals and hold on to property. Well, you have to deal with renters. You know, those are knee-jerk reactions that really hold people back, that you really just get it doesn't make sense. So if it makes sense, you just kind of restate it and solve it, but you have to make sure it's not a knee-jerk reaction. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, your call to action today. So with that, question? I'm hearing voices. So if you have a question, some of you are live, have a question. The way this works, for those that are new, we spend 15, 20 minutes talking about a tool. Then we're going to talk about what to do and how to apply it. Then we'll take questions either via the nets or over the phone. More than happy to do that. So the one thing I want you to work on before we open it up for questions is I want you to, as you're doing a presentation, is every 5 minutes, test the water. You know, if I can show you're going to save money, will you do business with me? Suppose I could get you 5 of these, would you get your order? It sounds like if I can prove to you you can make an extra $2,000 a month, we're in agreement on this. It's important to make sure if there's any questions or objections, you're getting them all the way through. That's number one. And number two, I want you to think about your most important presentation or phone call or webinar, or what, even if it's live, that call to action. I want you to fine-tune your call to action and build your whole presentation around. Even the first question you're asked should be all geared towards that presentation. All right. With that, are there any questions that I can help you out with, things we talked about today or things that you're running into? Be happy to help you out. Someone just zapped me a question, says, Kurt, how do you know if they can't see themselves doing it? Well, the one side I talked about is it doesn't make sense. You see a quick change in their demeanor. You'll see a lot more kind of like a frustrated body language because it's on their brain. It sounded good, but all of a sudden, I can't do that. I can't see myself doing it. That is the main thing that you're looking for. And you have to be able to paint the pictures, showing them that they can do it, that it's simple, because maybe they've tried it before and it didn't work, and that's all they can think about. Good question. Another question about the proper way to solve an objection. All right. Well, let me give you a formula then. I think we don't have a lot of time, but if you want a formula about how to solve an objection, I can give that to you. It's pretty simple. So you've decided it wasn't a knee-jerk objection. They weren't making it up to get rid of you, that it's an actual question or objection. So the first thing that you need to do is ask yourself, can you solve it? Now, if you're trying to get them to do business with you and the company's just got bankrupt and they have no money, it doesn't matter what you do or say or questions you ask, you can't solve that. That's all right. Can you solve it? Make sure after you've let them finish, you restate it, because you'd be surprised that they haven't really formulated it verbally. And so when they say it the first time, it's not always choices. So what you're saying is that you don't think you have the 2 hours a week to make an extra $2K, $3K a month or something like that. So, well, no, not really. Or they might say, yes, that's it. And then always compliment. I've mentioned that earlier. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. And if you need to, you apologize. You know, I should have covered that. I really appreciate you bringing that up. And make sure you're not condescending, even though you don't mean to be. A lot of times you do come across that way. So being sincere And always during this process, as you solve it, so this is when you solve it, give them room to save face. Don't back them in the corner. Don't prove them that they're wrong. Don't show them that it was a dumb question. That really will backfire. So if you're kind of one of a basic formula to solve objections or questions, that's the one you can do. Now I'm back to another question about that visualization part. A couple questions on that. Now, another aspect of that, can you see themselves doing it? Now, it's easier when you're in person to talk about it. When you're talking to somebody face-to-face and they lose eye contact, the moment they have an objection that's not true or doesn't make sense to you, if they're not interested in the solution, it kind of takes you off guard, or also can be signals, too, that it's not a true objection, it's just a knee-jerk. Remember, that 67% of the time, that's what's happening. It's never going to help you out to solve the wrong objection during a persuasive presentation. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Over the phone, through the net, I'm happy to take them. Buddy?
Kurt, this is Tom Holdus. I want to thank you for your presentation today.
I appreciate it, Tom. Glad you're back on with us. Do you have any questions for me? Any bad jokes?
Neither. Not today.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I guess this is the main thing I want you to kind of focus on this week is that call to action. Keep it brief. Yeah. Make sure you do it first, and then do your whole presentation around it. Even if it's simply leaving a voicemail, think it through, because a lot of times it goes to voicemail, we're like, if we haven't really thought through what should be said. And once it's recorded, a lot of times there's no turning back, and we didn't do the right call to action. So I will post the recording on whypersuasion.com if you want to listen to that. Those that are listening to the recording, just does that mean your questions on the same website? That will always get to be more than happy to answer those. Remember, we're in May. We've got, 7 months left to hit our goals. Make sure, again, I want to admonish you, keep track of your numbers. Know what it takes. If you're doing marketing, if you send out 100 emails, you get 10 responses. 7 are interested and 2 are going to buy. You need to know, because how are you going to know how good your marketing is, how good your persuasion is, how much it's improving? That is a sign of a professional persuader, knowing the numbers. So with that, everyone have an incredible week. Take care. We'll go a little deeper next week, but have a great week, and we'll talk to you then. Good night, everyone.